This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we begin our adventure in the Acts of the Apostles, starting off with the Ascension, then devoting themselves to prayer, Matthias chosen, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit, and Joel's prophecy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
We talk about the church militant and the church triumphant. It is one church, but it is a church that stands on either side of death. So the church militant stands on this side of death, and the church triumphant stands on the other side of death. We all await the resurrection, but is the triumph something that we need to wait for? Is the victory that Christ has won at the cross something that's still waiting to happen for us? We want to believe that this is an insured victory, and Christ says it is because it is solidly based in what has already happened, his death and his resurrection. So to what extent are we, the church militant, also the church victorious? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to study the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. Pastor Will Wheaton joins us. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
This is a very old hymn dating back to the early 6th century, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that neighborhood. Why do we continue to sing, in this case, really ancient hymns?
Well, it is an ancient hymn, but it is a hymn that is a wonderful encapsulation of the great work of redemption. And I think its use, especially on this last Sunday of the Easter season, I mean, when we think about its use, that's the time it normally falls, the seventh Sunday of Easter, the week before Pentecost. I think it's tied really closely to the story of the man who wrote the piece himself. And that man is St. Columba. And he is a revered Irish missionary monk. I know that sounds weird to people. They think of monasteries as places where people go to retreat from the world, but that's not the way they were thinking in Ireland at that time. Instead, they thought of the monasteries as outposts of the kingdom, and they were sent out for the purpose of bringing all the people around them to bow the knee before King Jesus and confess the crucified king as their hope, their life, their joy. And so he was the man who came out from Ireland and came to he founded the little abbey on Iona, right outside of the Scottish coast. And there he became the founder of this little community of Iona, which is right off the Scottish coast, and worked from that towards bringing the gospel of Christ to the people of Scotland. It's kind of fun, the early form of Christianity there in Ireland. It really differed some from the way things went in Rome. So on the island of Britain, you have sort of coming down from the north through Columba and his compatriots, a form of Irish Christianity, and coming up from the south through St. Augustine of Canterbury and his work, you have a Latin form of Christianity. And these two collide with each other. They disagree on such basics as like what day is Easter celebrated, things like that. And also the Irish monasteries were very different. They were like sort of not just men segregated and women segregated. They were like communities where people lived together and even raised children and sang and taught the faith. So they were very different. And when they met there, that had to be sorted out at the famous Council of Whitby. Finally did decide that Britain would end up going the Roman path rather than the Irish path that had been started there on the island by St. Columba. And so he always has held a special place for the people of Scotland, just the same way St. Boniface holds a special place in the heart of the German people, the man who brought Christianity to Germany, and then the same way the Patrick is revered by the Irish. So Duncan MacGregor, He was a missionary, and he later became a pastor. And in 1897, in honor of the 1,300th anniversary of St. Columba's death, he put this ancient hymn by St. Columba into English for the first time. And he intended it to be sung at the second Vesper service on the day of St. Columba, which is June 9th. It's a beautiful testimony to the old Irish, the jubilation of the old Irish confession of the Christian faith. It really is. Also fascinating about this hymn, Todd, is that its tune is an old Irish tune. Nobody knows exactly who wrote it. It's called Moville, though, after Movilla Abbey in County Down in Ireland, which was founded by St. Finian and was the school where St. Columba himself attended. So an old Irish tune, very fitting for an old Irish piece of theology, which remains as true today as it ever was, because it simply rehearses the truth of redemption from the Word of God.
What is the basic biblical theme of this hymn?
I was so much afraid you were going to ask me that question, because there really is not one basic biblical theme. Let me add this in to sort of explain what goes on here. He had apparently written, Columba had written a hymn extolling the joys of creation, and he'd been criticized for it because he didn't quite get much on redemption in there. He was just glorying in God's world. So then he wrote this piece, apparently, to actually celebrate the joys of redemption. So it's not going to be simply about one thing. It's going to be about who Jesus is and the great things that he has accomplished for us and the result of those things. So it's more than one scripture passage. As we go through this, you're going to see it's like a tapestry, verse by verse, image by image. He just draws on a ton of scriptures that we'll look at in turn. I hope that makes some sense. It's kind of like, yeah, it's like the Bible. That's the verse it's built on.
And why this Sunday? Why this hymn this Sunday?
Well, I do think it's connected to the idea of the completion of Easter. It's the completion of the church's joy or time in the Lord. Think about Columba as a missionary monk. The kingdom is being lived inside of the monastery, if you will, and then it goes out into all the world. Well, the days of Easter are drawing to a close, and as those days draw to a close, the church is being reminded again now, hey, we have a mission out toward the world. Remember this, the great joy that we have in here inside of the resurrected Christ is a joy meant to be carried out to the ends of the earth. And so what better way to do that than to carry a hymn like St. Columba's in our heart and in our mind and go out as people who know Jesus is reigning on the throne right now with his Father. He has our back, and we can accomplish what he's given us to do in his power, in his strength, and by the gift of his Spirit.
When we come back, stanza one, Christ is the world's Redeemer, the lover of the pure, the font of heavenly wisdom, our trust and hope secure, the armor of his soldiers, the Lord of earth and sky, our health while we are living, our life when we shall die.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.
Christ is the world's Redeemer, the Lord of the world, the Father of the Father, 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 the Father of the
Lutheran Public Radio Choir with stanza one of Christ is the World's Redeemer. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, take us into this stanza.
Well, you notice that it consists entirely of descriptions of who Jesus is, who this Christ is. And the first one is that he's the world's Redeemer. It's interesting, isn't it, that that's more of an Old Testament title than a New Testament one? The ESV, I think, uses it only one time in the New Testament, Acts 7:35. I think at that same point, the King James used deliverer instead. But if Redeemer isn't used that much, redemption fills the New Testament, and Christ as the world's redemption is proclaimed. Remember, in Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus says, "Now when these things begin to take place, you straighten up and raise your heads. Your redemption," meaning himself, "is drawing nigh." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood." And similarly, Colossians 1, 14, in whom Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins." I do think Luther's large catechism helps us get at exactly how Columba uses the term in this hymn. "Let this then be the sum of this article. The little word Lord simply means the same as Redeemer. It means the one who has brought us from Satan to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and who preserves us in the same." Really great stuff there. "Lover of the pure," I think, describes above all Jesus' love for his Father. None of us is pure, but he is. And Christ loves that Father of his with all of his heart and will and mind and strength and power. To call him the font of heavenly wisdom, well, that runs with the passage we just heard from 1 Corinthians 1:30, "Christ Jesus, whom God made unto us wisdom," or even Paul writing to the Christians at Colossae, chapter 2, verse 3, "in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The language of "our trust and hope secure," well, that's saying Jesus is the one you can simply rely on, and rely on without any reservation. Remember how St. Paul would say, "If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself," in 2 Timothy. And thus, he provides this sure foundation and anchor for our faith, Hebrews 6, verse 19, "which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Christ himself is that kind of an anchor for our lives. And then, the armor of his soldiers. This obviously brings to mind a passage like Ephesians 6 with the Christian's armor, but I think it also sort of suggests being tucked into Christ so that he envelops you, you're clothed in him. You know, that Paul heads this way in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on," like putting on clothes, "put on Christ, have been clothed in Christ." He literally envelops you, and he stands then between you and all your enemies. To get to you, they got to go through him. Good luck with that. And then the last line, "our health while we're living, our life when we shall die." You can't help but think of Romans 14, verse 8. "Whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's." Maybe also Colossians 3. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You're tucked into him. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So like I said, what scripture passage? Yeah.
This already has a military hint to it. It will get more military, more martial as we proceed through the stanzas. Make a defense of that image in a time when many churches are rejecting this kind of, which is all over the scriptures, this image of salvation as military victory.
Yeah, it is. It's unpopular nowadays. and for several decades now, because people have associated it with a triumphalist Christianity, you know, the sort of thing you have in some of the latter crusades, where for the glory of God, the glory of Christ, people will kill in the name of Christ. Well, obviously, that's nothing of what St. Columba is thinking of. It's not what the New Testament is thinking of when it summons us to the fight that we are engaged in Christ is this fight for the souls of men against the evil powers. And it is a fight which we wage not with the weapons of this world. They're useless. They can't do anything, but with the spiritual weapons with which we've been entrusted by the Lord and by His Spirit. And so the battle is a very different battle than the world thinks of. So when the Christians use this kind of a language, we are going to see it is anything but what we might call triumphalistic. It is anchored in triumph, but it's a triumph that comes on the other side of death and that we share already in Christ through His victory over death and the grave. Think about it. We're worshiping a crucified king. The head of our hosts is a crucified king.
What do we lose if we lose that distinction between a church militant and a church triumphant, that we often use that to describe Christians living here on this side of death and Christians who have passed through death into eternal life awaiting the resurrection?
Well, I think one of the things that is lost irretrievably when that's lost is the appeal of Christianity to the male of the species. Because what attracts men is the thought of the hero, right? To be the hero, to be able to be to be strengthened to face down the fears and to do it with the courage that you're not even sure where it's coming from. But this challenge of the hero, I think, is something that appeals to boys. It's why is it that you can't stop little boys? You can deny them guns to play with, right? But what do? They go make sticks.
My 3-year-old grandson picks up a stick and he calls it his pewer.
There it is. There you go. Mm-hmm. They're going to do it. They're going to fight that way. So that kind of a thing has happened. Well, it's happened in Christianity now, where it's been so hyper feminized that you have all these sappy sweet songs that you sing to Jesus, and you lose the kind of hymns that actually move, especially the men of the congregation, because of their martial beat and because of the martial imagery. A man gets this image. I am called to be a soldier of Christ. I am called to suffer and to lay down my life for my King. This is noble language, and it's what he's calling us to.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. Stanza 2 is after the break. Christ has our host surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright who wave their palms in triumph and fire us for the fight. Then Christ the cross ascended to save a world undone, and suffering for the sinful, our full redemption won. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue feasting on the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with more of the seven letters of Jesus to the churches, this time to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota has big city anemones with small town feel, civil freedom, and the natural beauty of its namesake waterfalls. It is also home to Christ Lutheran Church, where the living water, Christ Himself, flows. Located near I-90 and I-229, Christ Lutheran offers divine service with Holy Communion each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Learn more about this confessional liturgical parish at ChristSiouxFalls.org. Christ Lutheran Church, building upon Christ.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Learn more on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Stanza 2 of the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. So, Will, this stanza puts us on the battlefield, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And notice that it's not the order you expected it to run in, right? You would expect to hear about Christ ascending the cross and then the martyrs dying. But he actually follows what I might think of as the biblical order, because Christ as our host surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright certainly evokes all of Hebrews 11, which ends with martyrdom, right? All the people that died for Christ before Christ came, and then concludes in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So martyrs in the Old Testament sense first, but they were witnesses to Christ, and Christ has them surrounding us. And notice what they do. They wave their palms in triumph, and I love this line, they fire us for the fight. They get the fire burning in your belly to fight this fight of Christ. Well, obviously, palms in triumph calls to mind Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands. And they shouted with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So they're waving their palms in triumph because the salvation has already been won by the Lamb. And so they can hold out this hope to the people they're surrounding. It's like, you have a victory that's already yours. Live it. Join us. This is the fight that's worth fighting. Also, calls to mind 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, where St. Paul would say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I never really put that together before, but I wondered there if the witnesses were not just the people who were around when Timothy was ordained, but hey, you did this in the presence of the whole gathered people of God, including the martyrs who have already laid down their lives for Christ.
You said something there that I would like you to expand upon, and that is the victory is already secure. This is not a battle, back to the church militant, of which the outcome is uncertain or unknown in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, it makes a difference how you fight then, right?
If you can't lose.
You're not. You know, he starts out with this promise, you're not going to be a loser hanging out with me. I wasn't a loser upon my cross. You are not going to be a loser. The way I always like to express this is Jesus has more life than this whole world has death. He has more hope than this whole world has despair. He has more love than this whole world has hate. He has more forgiveness than this whole world has sin. And he's calling you on to his side. Notice also that this stanza then uses the language of the cross this way. Then Christ the cross ascended to save a world undone. So ascend it, it runs with the idea of lift it up, the technical term the Romans would use for crucifixion, but also which John, you know, he grabs hold of that and runs full steam ahead with that in his gospel, showing us how for Christ, the exaltation, the glorification is the cross. It's what he did there. It's not just what follows at the resurrection. The cross is the first movement of glorification. So you have in John 12, for example, verses 31 to 33, now's the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out. And I, if I be lifted, ascended from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And then that last line, suffering for the sinful, our full redemption won. This is the anchor of the victory having been won. It's already done. The full redemption has been secured by Christ himself, the world's redeemer. So this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, 1 Timothy 1:15. And of course, the great cry from the cross when Jesus himself had received the vinegar, he said, tetelestai. It is finished. Bowed his head, gave up the Holy Spirit, or Hebrews 9:12, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Just beautiful.
You had mentioned that statement, then Christ the cross ascended. It's an active verb. It's not passive. And I think the two go together nicely in that John passage. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw them into myself. Yes, he is passively lifted in a visible sense, but he's doing it in order that he might actively draw all men to himself, that Jesus is not passive in his death. He is the agent. This is not suicide. This is a divine man laying down his life and taking it up again.
Which he makes very explicit in John 10, right? He said, no one takes my life from me. I mean, we just need to underline that in our thoughts. It is not like he is a tragic victim of circumstance. That does not exculpate any of the sin that was attached to what happened to his suffering and death. But he himself is the actor here who lays down his life. This command I have received from my Father. I have the authority to lay my life down and to take it up again. So he himself is the actor doing that, and he does it for our full redemption, that there might be a redemption price on which you can depend for time and for eternity, something that your faith can hold tight to.
Stanza 3. Down through the realm of darkness he strode in victory, and at the hour appointed he rose triumphantly, and now to heaven ascended he sits upon the throne, whence he had ne'er departed, his father's and his own.
Down through the realm of darkness he strode in victory, and
stanza 3 of the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. You got to marvel at the choir director there for the Lutheran Public Radio Choir, giving that one voice to sing this because he's going down there by himself.
And he goes there by himself in complete triumph and majesty. It's so beautiful, right? I mean, he's such a mighty king that he can take on sin, death, hell. He can triumph over them. And so he descended into hell. We say it in the creed all the time. What does this actually entail? Well, we think about from 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19. Christ hath also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which, the Holy Spirit, also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, the formula of Concord simply says of this descent, we simply believe that the entire person, God and man, descended into hell after the burial, conquered the devil, destroyed hell's power, and took from the devil all his might. We should not trouble ourselves with high and difficult thoughts about how this happened. By the way, that's generally true for everything which God reveals. He never invites us to ponder, how does this work? He always invites us to believe what he says has happened. Just believe what he says is true. And at the hour appointed, he rose triumphantly. Hour appointed, I think, suggests to us this image of the 3 days. After 3 days, he would rise again, just like he said. But triumphant, he rose triumphantly. Think about Exodus 15, right? Where they cross the Red Sea and Moses and the children of Israel sing this song to the Lord. They sing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The enemies of the people of God vanquished by God forever. The Lord throws them into the sea. And now to heaven ascended, he sits upon the throne. Think about all of the beautiful passages that tie to the Lord's ascension. My favorite, of course, Psalm 47, verse 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. I think it was the Coverdale translation that has there, God has gone up with a merry noise, the Lord with the sound of a trump. I just absolutely love that, a merry noise. Mark 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, Ephesians 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lowest parts of the earth. He that descended is the same as he that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And I just absolutely love this very last line of the stanza, Todd. Whence he had ne'er departed, his father's and his own. So what on earth does that mean? He doesn't depart from the father's throne even when he becomes a man. In other words, he does not vacate his deity. He can't. It's who he is. It's the eternal divine son who assumes a human nature into the unity of his person. And you get hints of this like in John 3, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Jesus says this while upon the earth, which is in heaven. Of course, his father and his own, in reference to the throne, that's confessed in Revelation 22, 1-3. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. By the way, that is the picture of the Trinity there. You have the Father and the Lamb, and the Spirit is this river that flows out, the water that carries life. Verse 3 again, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it in the city, and his servants shall serve him. Just a beautiful stanza. It's this third stanza is my favorite of the whole hymn.
Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is leading us in a study of the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Pastor Whedon will be leading the hymn sing at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago. Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns is this year's theme.
For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385, making the case Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. This ascending to the cross and ascending to God's throne, it's really two parts of one action. We'll talk about that next. Issues Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Will, we had in the last stanza and this stanza two ascensions. One was ascending to the cross and the other was ascending to God's throne. Those are really two parts of one action, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. It is a movement toward the Father. His job is to return us to the Father. We heard that from Hebrews, right? He wants to give us back to God. And he does this as an entire motion of his. He goes through suffering and death upon the cross, then through the triumph of his descent into hell, then to the glory of his resurrection, then to his ascension, his enthronement at the right hand of God. All of this is the motion of his returning. This is the thing that Isaiah saw when, lo, I and the children that God has given me. So here is Jesus standing there before the Father, and he is leading a procession from all of humanity to bring the children of God back to the Father. And it is one unending movement that is salvation. And frankly, the last piece is still not happened, right? I mean, it's the return of Christ in glory that will be the final climax of this entire victory.
Well, that put me in mind of two things. One is St. Paul, I think it might be Romans, where he says, he asks these rhetorical questions about who goes up and who comes down from heaven.
Right.
So you have Jesus, he comes down in his incarnation. Then he goes up to the cross. Then down to the depths of the earth, as the apostle puts it, and then back up through the grave and onto his Father's throne. But as you said, he's going to appear again, this time to bring everything back up with him.
Well, and from the moment that he assumes humanity, he's like, I mean, you need to picture that as he's put all of us on his shoulders. Picture it that way. From the moment of the incarnation, the Son of God has us on his shoulders. And he's the one who will carry us then through suffering, through death, to resurrection. What happened to him as first fruits is going to happen to us. And all the way through to ascension. You don't get it till you get that he wants to throne you next to him. In the throne room of God himself, you will be his sisters and brothers, ruling with him, co-heirs with him of everything that is his. This is just so mind-blowing. I don't know how many times Chrysostom in his preaching makes this move, where he just looks at the negative of redemption and says, if you stop there, you've missed the wonder of the whole thing. It's not just what he is saving you from. It's what he is saving you for. It's not just that he says, well, this prisoner doesn't need to die. It's that he takes this foul prisoner. He washes them clean. He brings them to his house. He makes them sit at his table. He serves them. And he makes them be part and parcel of his forever family. That's what he does. He lifts us up to his own status.
Does that change the way, like having the martyrs saying the victory is ours, does that change the way we live here today, knowing that we are not only saved from, but we are saved for?
I think it does. I think it gives us a dignity and a courage going forward. Again, to return to something from St. John Chrysostom, he was dealing in, I'm working on 1 Corinthians for the podcast now, and he said in chapter 7, dealing with the whole thing about slavery, right? He's like, Christianity lifts you up from slavery. He's like, it totally sets you free. Because even if you continue in earthly slavery to some master, he said, you've been set free from slavery to your passions, slavery to the devil. Christ really has set you free. And he says, and he's put everyone who is a free man under subjection to himself. They're Christ's slaves. He said, in Christ, both freedom and slavery are lifted up and transformed. I think that makes a huge difference than how you live in this world. As Luther would say, we live as perfectly free lords of all, servants of none, and we live as perfectly dutiful servants of all.
Also, John, again, there is this image where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. We hear these words at funerals. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going. That means I'm coming back.
He says, I'll come again.
And when I come, we're going to be in the same place where I am.
I'll take you to be with me where I am.
Yeah, right. So that where I am, you may be also, which is some of the most comforting words Jesus ever spoke.
Yes.
So is he describing this same action?
Yes, I believe he is describing this exact same action, because everything is viewed from the standpoint of the whole of his self-offering, which carries all of humanity back to God. To be in him, then, is to be returned to the Father and have a place in the Father's house as children in and through the Son.
The final stanza, a doxology. Glory to God the Father, the unbegotten one. All honor be to Jesus, the sole begotten Son, and to the Holy Spirit, the perfect Trinity. Let all the worlds give answer. Amen. So let it be.
Glory to God the Father, the unbegotten one.
What would you say about this doxology?
Well, this is what the battle's for. It's to bring you from the slavery to yourself into the freedom of the children of God, where they can stand before his throne and give glory through the Son in the Spirit to the Father. So look at the order here. Glory to God the Father, the unbegotten one. You remember the words of the Athanasian, which we'll be confessing on Trinity Sunday, right? The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. He's the source of everything, including he's the source of the persons of the Holy Trinity. But he's that as an eternal source of their eternal being. He is Father. And as Father, he also, to the creation, is the creator and the provider. And then, all honor be to Jesus, his sole begotten Son. So now he gets to the name, which is above all names, the name at which every knee is going to bow, the name at which every tongue will confess, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved, according to Acts 4. He's sole begotten. And that's another way of saying only begotten, right? Like you have in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I think you need to hear that gave. That's that whole movement. That's the movement of gave him into the flesh, gave him to the death of the cross, gave him to be the triumpher over hell, gave him to be the one who rose on the third day, gave him to be the one who in our humanity now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, the one who has brought us all the way up to his own status, so that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In him, the one who was given by the Father into all that. And then at the end, into the Holy Spirit, the perfect Trinity. The Spirit, of course, the revealer of the Son, the one who brings you to faith in the Son, so that the Son can present you to the Father, redeemed, restored, forgiven by his own blood. And the perfect Trinity, it gets at this idea that there's no way we can wrap our minds around this. This God who has so loved us. Three persons, one God, a shared essence. Each person, holy, divine. The Father having Godhead in himself. The Son having Godhead and being begotten of the Father. The Spirit having Godhead and proceeding from the Father through the Son. And yet, not three persons, but a single divine being. Yeah. Philip Melanchthon nailed this in the first edition of the Loci Communis, 1521. He said, you know, the mysteries of God are to be adored, not investigated. Our minds explode trying to understand how. But if we can't understand how, we can surely understand that. This is the God who has loved us in Christ and loved us perfectly from before the ages began. And with ages runs this last line, let all the worlds or ages give answer, amen, so let it be. All the worlds. Man, how puny our sight is when we forget this vast biblical understanding also of the unseen. All ages are called upon to speak out their amen. The angels and all human beings, the creation itself in all of its parts, stuff that we haven't even begun to guess. It's all united together in one song of glory to the Trinity. This is what you hear as the basso continuo running through the entire book of Revelation. It just keeps erupting here and there throughout the book. And this is how the church gets through our difficult moments. It steals on the ear the distant triumph song and hearts are brave again, right? That's how it goes. And arms are strong. So the church gets to sing the new song of redemption. As those who've been redeemed in Christ, and the angels and the rest of creation, they're spectators to us, but they're shouting their amen to the glorification of the Blessed Trinity. And notice the amen. Remember the joy of amen. This is faith's word. This is, that's true. That's how it is. That's surely how it will be. But remember even more, Jesus teaches us in Revelation 3, verse 14, this is his own name. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus is Amen. He's God's yes to this creation. So Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that for all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So this hymn, it celebrates that by us and all the world, the entire creation joins in the amen, that is Christ, to the glory of God.
And that amen is just for the church militant, so let it be, because we wait in time for these things already secured in Christ to be fulfilled. But that is an eternal amen on the other side of the resurrection.
It will never cease. We'll just continue to proclaim the joy that is in Christ for all eternity.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. We will hear the entire hymn next and get Pastor Will Wheaton's thoughts.
In the midst of a world full of violence, trouble, affliction, confusion, darkness, with terrible things here and terrible things seemingly coming over the horizon, Jesus stands and says to us, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled."
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We want to rejoice in that peace, explore that peace, consider that peace that Jesus wants to give to all of his people, and at last to recognize that he, in fact, is our peace, a peace that passes all understanding.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolf Miller making the case for Christian peace at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The images of the war in Ukraine that have filled our screens over the last few months have left many people wondering, how do we address this as Lutherans? How do we think about war? How does the church, or can the church, speak to the state at such a time? Well, if you've asked such questions, you need to pick up the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. There we ask and answer these very questions. To find out more, visit cph.org/witness or our website witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
We're studying the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer, with Pastor Will Wheaton, host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Here's how you can receive Pastor Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before May 23rd. It's a small group of faithful listeners who pledge to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. monthly or annually. For more information on the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, give us a call, 618-223-8385, or check out the support donate page at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Will, let's hear the entire hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer, and get your final thoughts. The hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. Pastor Whedon, what are your final thoughts here?
Man, if that doesn't fire you for the fight, I want to know what will. And you know, if you think about those words that you just heard, and you compare them to St. Paul's words at the end of Romans 8, I think they illumine each other in a beautiful way. Can I just read those words? What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's the hymn in a nutshell. More than conquerors through him who loved us, Jesus Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org and your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Will, thanks.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part this week by Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran offers a classical education for students pre-K through 12th grade. They also offer interactive online classes for high school students worldwide. Learn more about registering for the 2022-23 school year at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Harold Frank's World War II story about faith and courage with Mark Hager. We'll have Dr. Tara Sandra Lee respond to Nancy Pelosi's assertion that science hasn't changed since the legalization of abortion. And we'll talk with Dr. John Stadden about science in an age of unreason. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
To Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us who rightly seat us.
The 21st century.
What is my Lord?
The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.